adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised.
Loveline with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board certified physician, addiction medicine specialist. Chester and Brad are both here from Lincoln Park tonight.
Hello.
Good to see you guys.
It's good to be back. Thanks for having us again.
Oh, it is our pleasure. I was looking at these numbers. It was Ann gave me my beat sheets. Got all the big beats from the band on it, meaning, that says stuff like when they were on Loveline last and that kind of stuff. One thing said, big beat. It said, sold the hybrid theory sold 7.8 million in the United States.
Wow.
And then I was thinking,
it's actually billion. That's a
billion? Oh, my goodness. True, that's 1,000
It's more than
million.
McDonald's.
Well, the reason why is because we actually put a CD in with every cheeseburger that's
sold.
Oh,
my God, that explains it. Over 7.8 billion.
The band is modest, and they like to downplay the success. But I was looking at that and thinking, holy yes. And then Ann walked in here 2 minutes later and went, can you believe those numbers? Yeah. Best selling band of 2001? Absolutely amazing. Not that you shouldn't be. I mean, someone's got it. Isn't it always like Mariah Carey or something? Isn't it somebody you don't want to
think it was going to be us. You know, I mean, that was the last thing we thought. We thought we were going to sell, you know, 6 copies.
You know what's funny is oftentimes you go to places and you've talked to people and they have no idea. They've never heard of Linkin Park.
What?
They have no idea who we are.
Really?
Yeah.
Who says that?
No, we'll be on tour and we'll go to a truck stop and they'll say, oh, are you guys in a band? We'll say, yeah. They'll say, what's the name of your band? Linkin Park. Never heard of you.
I wonder if that's sort of exclusive to this country.
That things
you know
so
what I mean?
Spotty like that?
Yeah, I mean, there's places, you know, we have the same thing. There's places you or I can go and people will be screaming out Loveline or Man Show or something, and then you can go to my family's house, for instance, and it,
what's
crickets.
Funny is,
you still swinging a hammer, son? What's going on with you?
I was in Phoenix.
Where'd you get that nice car?
I was in Phoenix not too long ago, and I went out with my friend to dinner, and he owns a tattoo shop, and we're sitting in the restaurant, and all these people keep coming up to the table, and they're like, dude, you're the guy who owns Club Tattoo. And he's like, it's me. And one after another, finally one of the girls that worked at the restaurant comes up, and she's like, oh, my God, you're the guy from Club Tattoo, this and that. And he's like, yeah, you know, I am. And she talked about how she wrote a paper on him and all this kind of stuff. And
oh,
I'm sitting
God.
There, and he's looking at me, and they just started laughing because I guess they were expecting everybody to walk up to me and be like, oh, you're the guy from Linkin Park. But, yeah, nobody knows who we are.
I think so. But Adam and I picked Linkin Park out of the crowd long ago. You remember
yes.
that?
Yes. We had at the drive-in.
You cursed them, I believe.
Linkin Park?
Yes.
So
that
would be
That's
so
right.
you would be successful.
Yes.
Thank
put,
you.
Who?
Right.
What other band did I put a curse on
it's
about
like a,
six,
like
7 years
her.
Ago?
No Doubt, I believe.
No Doubt.
No Doubt.
And look what happened to them.
Yeah, that worked.
No, I'm telling you, I put a pox on No Doubt's career about seven years ago, and it's been nothing but through.
And that's why you curse yourself nightly.
I try that, but I realize I can't do it to myself. But I did do it to Linkin Park some years back.
Yeah. It's like 2 years ago. Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe I'll re-up. I'll give you guys like a warm up on the curse or something later on tonight.
Because
when Adam Carolla puts the curse on you, it's straight. You're cursed all the way to the bank. All right. But who was here? At the drive-in was in here about the same time.
Same week we met Linkin Park,
and we thought to ourselves, we hate those a-holes at the drive-in. They were just pricks. And then we said, we like those Linkin Park guys. And then we went and saw you both in concert at the Acoustic Christmas. And we thought, isn't it great that Linkin Park is so good and at the drive-in sucks? I was thinking, they're probably going to come on and Anderson's going to play this. But true, we did think that, didn't we?
Oh, yes, we did.
That's what we thought.
All right. Oh, man.
Yeah, so here you are.
That's so good. Thank you. That was a great story.
Yeah, Drew was really really thinking about it, too. He really was talking about it.
About that, because I remember so vividly.
I know, Drew.
Because we meet new bands, and you guys stuck with us, not just as musicians, but as people. We thought, those guys are, I wonder, no. We went to see, we thought, I wonder if they're as good a music, you know, if the band is, we hope they're as good as they were guys, you know, that
right.
those guys deserve to do well, you know.
Man,
know
those guys are great guys. We really wish they could play their instruments.
Yeah,
the acting classes have paid off.
So we hope that it works
out. That's what we thought, and it turned out. Good.
Patrick is 26.
Patrick?
Yes.
What's up?
Well, Drew, Adam, love the show. I was just looking for validation for a theory that I have. It's just kind of like, I know sperm only reproduces, you know, a certain amount of time. Every time you come, it's like a million sperm gush out.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm figuring if you can make yourself come 6 to 10 times a day, maybe, then basically you should be sterile, is my theory.
Can you run the spigot dry?
Right.
Turns out you can't do that.
I've tried.
Adam has made a personal run.
I turned
run
my
at
nuts
it
inside out before I actually ran
do,
the spigot
they,
dry.
That's right. They flop right on out your
right
urethra. But
so this is not a good form of birth control.
Absolutely inadequate.
Why?
Totally inadequate.
Why can't you do this?
You can lower your sperm count, because sperm is processed. It's packaged. It's in a packaging plant. It's not like it comes strictly out of your nuts the second it can swim. It's being constantly processed and turned over. And at the point at which you can't produce any semen, I mean, nothing will squeeze out. Maybe then, because you're not having an orgasm.
Hey, Patrick, let me just put a hole in your theory here, which is, after you beat yourself silly for 14 hours and you've gotten off like 28 times in the last half day, you're really going to be up for a good balling?
Yeah, you can't. Is that
what you want to do?
That's the point. You can't even get an erection anymore. Either.
I mean, not only that, right, but isn't the first one the best one anyways?
Usually. Unless you wait too
especially
long,
with your
then it's the
especially
second
with your partner. I mean, I don't know. Maybe you have some kind of thing worked out to where it gets better and better, you know, after the fifth or sixth time.
Well, and there's a thing where the more sexual activity you have, the more your body will try to keep up with it, too. So your body will pick up the pace a little to kind of keep up with what you're putting out.
That's all right, Patrick, that's a retarded idea, but I had a great idea on the ride in.
Oh, yeah?
And I'm going to get into this. I got to do this. I was driving my usual, I like to drive about 14 miles an hour over whatever the posted speed limit is, and I'm looking in the rear, and I'm seeing what looks like a cop bike, maybe 100 yards or so behind me. It's got the one headlight, and then it's got the two sort of markers down below to the right and left, and I'm thinking, yeah, that's cop bike. That's a cop bike. I drive everywhere I go at night. I just stare in the rear view. I don't even look at the road, and I try to make out the headlights. That's a minivan. That could be a cruiser. I think it's going to be a cop car. And I just realize all I need is a sticker. I need a little sticker, just a little bigger than a postage stamp, to stick onto my rearview mirror that is cop headlights. Because all cars have their sort of headlight signature.
Something to mark it against, to compare it against?
No, just a sticker to remind me, like I can reference. Yeah, I can reference
it. Yeah.
I mean, you can look up and go, nah, that's a Ford LTD with You know, cops drive one car. Maybe you got to put two or three. Maybe put the bike along the bottom. But you got the reference.
Yeah.
There's nothing worse than driving.
That's a great idea.
It's pretty easy, right? Sure, cops would love it while they're beating the crap out of you in their unmarked car. But it couldn't hurt, could it? I mean, it wouldn't be bad. You just do a little clear sticker under there.
You've totally stumped me.
So these guys, here's the thought bubble of these guys' heads. Like, holy Christ, he's driving without looking forward.
I know,
and
actually,
he wants more things to look behind
at. Why don't you just get radar?
What's funny is I rely on my kind of like animal instincts when I drive, and I realize sometimes that I haven't looked at the road in like the last 10 minutes.
Yeah, because you're looking
because
for
cops.
Because
I was like, you know, looking for cops or like looking for a CD or like talking to someone.
No, that's
like looking
safe.
Looking at the mirrors, looking at, you know, the speedometer. And then I go, wait, I haven't stared at the road once since I left my house.
Yeah, that's good.
Is that cool?
No, that's intuition. You got like a spidey sense when you drive.
I've never been in an accident, though. Mm-hmm.
That's good. You'll never be in one with that kind of. I put a curse on you, remember? It's a rocket
ship
to the moon.
I'm untouchable now.
Drew, what do you think of my cop light stickers?
I like it. It's good.
That's solid.
Solid, yeah.
That couldn't hurt. Jennifer?
Yeah.
You're 20?
Yeah.
What's the matter, baby doll?
me and my boyfriend, we've been going out for 2 years, and he's like a really touchy person, and I'm not. Like, when we wake up in the morning, he'll just smack my butt and just pick up my boobs. And I have to, like, shoo him away because I'm not in a touchy mood.
Guys are funny that way. They can be like little organ grinder monkeys or something.
Yeah.
You know, they come at you with the hands all the time. It's like some instinctive thing they can't get enough of.
Well, how old is he?
He's just a year older than I am.
21, that would be.
He's 21, and I'll be turning 21 next month. So.
Yeah, because there's this part in a guy's life that usually ends in the mid-20s, maybe early 20s, depending on when you got started, which is, I can feel a boob for free, like, when I want. It's right here. It's a weird thing. You know what I mean?
They can't stop. It's like the organ or grinder monkey in your ears.
It's like
he's just thankful that you allow him to touch you when you're naked.
Right.
He wants to get as much as he can in. There's nothing wrong with that.
No, he can't.
Just smack him away.
Let me flip it around a little bit, Jennifer. He can't stop. It's not because of you. It's not because – it's just that's in his biology. He can't stop.
Well, so what's the problem with that, Jennifer?
It's just I'm not – like, there's sometimes I just don't want – to be touched, you know, like, he'll just come out and smack me, and I'm like, dude, leave me alone. I just, like, seriously, I just yell and scream at him, and all of a sudden, I'm like, never mind, just, you know.
Yeah. You got any problems?
No, we don't, really.
Nobody hit you growing up? People like they're like you usually have some body
some
space
issues,
but boundary issues that... Anybody who violates your body boundaries is a very threatening or uncomfortable. And if somebody smacked you around when you were a kid, that's a good way to sort of get into that.
Anything like that?
Oh.
Hey, Jennifer?
Yeah?
Let's backtrack. You called the show?
Yeah.
Right. You want to talk to us about your problem?
Yeah.
Okay. What are you doing right now?
Knitting?
Well, I'm going to get my son a bottle.
Okay. Hold on a second. There's always trouble when people start things with H's that don't have H's, and they go, huh? Or they go, huh? When you start everything with the huh, it's bad. Like, there's no Harvard professor who just goes, starts things with huh?
I don't think she was expecting to go into the truth, which was the fact that she's been probably
violated,
abused some way,
yeah.
And...
Sounds
not
like
she's really not interested in the truth is the problem.
Yeah. Jennifer?
Yeah.
Okay, now, were you ever abused in any way?
Anybody, no, she won't.
Shush.
No.
No. Adam,
really.
Were you ever abused in any way?
Hell.
No.
I mean, I had a couple encounters with a couple boyfriends.
Now, how about your dad? Where's your dad?
Who knows?
He never hit you? He never hit you growing up?
He was around for a while.
He never hit you growing up?
No, just the whooping, like...
Okay, the whooping is physical abuse, and that's what creates these body boundary issues. Whooping is not okay. It's not something that should ever be done to a child.
I mean, he didn't whoop me, like, all the time. He just whooped me when I was, like, really, really bad.
One time is enough to do it to you, Jennifer.
Well, all right. So, anyway, you have a kid with this guy?
I can't.
All right, Drew, quiet down. You have whose kid is this?
It's his.
And yours
came
too,
out,
right?
Came out of you?
Yeah, it came out of me.
Okay.
All right. Now, you guys going to get married or anything?
Yeah, I've got to finish some school, and up, and after we finish school, we're going to, you know, plan the wedding.
Why bother with the school?
I mean, I work at a hospital, and the hospital has, like, enrichment, you know, where you can move up.
Oh, okay. All right, then that's a good idea. You work on that. No more kids, right?
Maybe later, and later.
When this one's old enough to help you raise the next one, that's when you get another child.
All right.
Okay.
All right, or make it in the circus, whichever comes first.
Okay.
Pretty penny to be made over there.
Okay.
All right. All right. Now, as far as this guy goes, feel free to tell him things that make you feel uncomfortable, but on the other hand, realize if he's just doing it out of love and affection and you have some issues left over from the past, don't take those out on him.
That's right.
All right?
Well said.
Yeah.
All right, good times. All right, baby doll?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, yep. Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
Man.
Let's all think about our lives.
So that's what we sound like when we wake up in the middle of the night and get a bottle for our babies.
Yep. No. Van?
Yeah, what's up?
You're 21.
Yep.
What's up?
Well, when I go to clubs, right, and I start dancing with girls, I get a Mondo hard-on.
Mondo
hard-on. All right.
Wow.
It could happen.
And I was wondering if there was any way I could reduce that.
Reduce it?
I know.
I mean,
Yeah.
How do you reduce it?
That's much embarrassing. I mean,
you need to calm down, bro.
How does he reduce it, Adam?
You do that belt. You do that belt pull move where you pull it up and tuck it against your belly in your waistband.
The snap up maneuver.
Snap up.
Just make sure your shirt's tucked in, or you know, it's long enough to hang over your pants.
My hernia is hurting.
I do that, but man, I tell you, it like finds its way around that.
No, it does. Listen, Van, seriously.
This is the writhing penis syndrome. Yes, indeed. Yes.
Drew, that's enough. You're out of control. Listen to me.
I'm listening.
Van, not you, Drew. I don't want you talking anymore or listening or breathing. Thank you. Stop your heart. Stop your mind from racing. Here's what I want, Van. Next time you get that boner, I want you to take your hand. I want you to slide it down your pants. I want you to take your penis and pull it up against your belly and tuck it in your waistband. You
can, like in my belly button, dude.
Yeah.
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 I've done that, but it like.
It does what?
It's not comfortable, so it's like, screw that, I'm not staying in the.
No, it's not comfortable, but it'll go away very quickly. It can't stay erect in that position.
Maybe, Adam, there's an opportunity here for you to invent something new, like a penis garter.
Maybe you should try finding one girl that you like and then getting to know her. And then maybe, you know, being intimate with her for a while.
Yeah.
So you get over the excitement of just being around, you know, the opposite sex.
A penis is like a shark. It has to keep swimming forward. Otherwise, it dies. And when you put the penis up against the belly, it's like the shark getting caught in the reef. It does not... It has nowhere to go.
But isn't this time to invent like a penis garter?
And don't watch so much porn.
Up against the belly?
Maybe I'll tie it to your leg, you know, tie it
down. Drew, you can't push it down. It tries to push up.
Yeah, but then we can't get an erection that way.
No, you can. Look, when you lie on your belly at night and you're sleeping and your penis is down by your leg, that's where you get that boner. Penis tries to push you up like a bottle jack. Right?
Right, bottle jack.
Bottle jack. You take that boner, put it against your belly and lay on it. It's got nowhere to go because it can't push you up into your abdomen. You see what I'm saying?
I don't know.
True. I got to get the dry erase board out? Okay. All right, let's hear a Linkin Park song. It used to be up on the screen, actually, last time I looked, and then it left. Maybe we're playing a new song.
Taint, it's called.
We're playing a new
song? Taint, it's called.
All right.
Yeah, Taint is something else.
Yeah. You ready there, Anderson? Here's a little something from Linkin Park. Linkin Park, everybody. CD's called Meteora. It is out as we speak. We'll let's see, one more call or take a break? That's it. Let's take one more call. Question for the band. Yeah. Glenn?
Yeah.
You're 18?
Yeah.
You got a question for Chester and Brad?
Yeah, first, Meteora was like the coolest CD. You guys kicked so much ass.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
How was it doing a song for The Matrix?
Well, the interesting thing about that is, you know, we're big fans of the film, and we really got kind of interested early on in just kind of poking our nose around and saying that we wanted to do something with them no matter what it was. So they suggested that maybe we suggest a track, and we submitted an instrumental track called Session, and that's a track off the new record. And we're really proud of it because it not too many instrumental tracks make it to a soundtrack of this kind of level where there's a lot of exposure, a lot of great bands with a lot of new stuff, new songs. And so to have an instrumental open up the album is really kind of... it's really great for us because it's something that we're really proud of.
The real reason we actually wanted to do something for the soundtrack was so that we could get to go to the premiere and see the movie before everyone else.
How was it,
by
the way?
Why'd you say that, man? It's the truth. You're not supposed to say the truth.
I thought we decided to be honest this time.
Oh, I forgot.
This time.
But it's that kind of honesty that when a guy who's selling siding says, "Can I be honest with you for a second? I have the siding on my place, and I gotta be. Can I be honest?" I realize the guys who say, "Can I be honest?" are the biggest liars,
right,
really, there are. And it sort of suggests that they were lying the rest of the time.
Right.
Now they're going in honest. We're like, we've been talking for 45 minutes. Now you want to be honest? Like, what was the other crap we're talking about? But you guys, when they do a movie like The Matrix, they score it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then they also have a soundtrack. Is that correct?
Can I be honest?
Be honest.
Yeah, I mean, the music's always been really important for The Matrix. Like last time they had Deftones, a lot of heavier music too. So this time they have like POD, Rage Against the Machine. So there's the score. It's actually, I think, two CDs. One's primarily score, and the other's primarily original songs that were made for the movie.
And then a lot of the times the songs on the soundtrack aren't actually in the body of the movie. It seems like that quite a bit, right?
Sometimes it's really...
Be honest.
Sometimes they are and sometimes they aren't, simply because, you know, if the movie is scored, the music that is scored typically kind of gives the feeling for the scene.
Right.
And the soundtrack music is usually, you know, used for the end credits and all that kind of...
Star song's actually in the end credits.
Right.
So, you know.
Right. Hey, I don't know. I mean, you're being honest. That's the important part.
I'm glad we've established this type of rapport.
The curse will continue. We'll take ourselves a little break. Linkin Park in studio tonight. We'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. Dr. Drew, phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Chester and Brad are both here tonight from Linkin Park. Meteora is the name of the CD. It is currently out, and we will hear another cut off it in the 11 o'clock hour. Let's go to Sean. Sean?
Yes.
You're 20. What's up?
Hey, I just called. I just wanted to say that I'm a huge fan of Linkin Park. Love you guys' music. And I'm a huge fan, so I just wanted to say what's up.
Word.
Dude.
Thank you.
So, yeah, that's pretty much it.
All right.
That's great. That was the best caller we've had all night.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah.
Right.
Good question.
In all honesty.
All right, Sean.
Right on. Thanks.
Thanks, dude.
All right. Sean just made a question up because he wanted to say hi to the band.
Fair enough.
That sounded like my friend.
Really?
Yeah. I didn't want to say something, though.
Nina?
Yes?
You're 17?
Yes, I am.
What's up?
I wanted to know how long it takes for chlamydia to get out of your system.
You can sweat it out in a couple hours
a couple days. It really is a very quick, rapid response.
What is it?
It may be hours, in fact.
Chlamydia?
I would give it a couple of days.
You mean after you take the stuff?
The Zithromax,
I went and got treatment Monday.
You took the big... Did you have a shot also or just the oral pills?
No, it wasn't even that. It's like I had to drink it.
Yeah, the azithromycin.
Is chlamydia the clap?
No, clap was really gonorrhea, but I mean, everyone's getting much more sophisticated about these things now. Chlamydia.
Why do they call it clap?
I don't know. I think I might.
Because that's the sound it makes in your pants when you run.
Really? It makes a clanging sound?
Interesting. The chlamydia is the leading cause of infertility in this country. People can walk around with it for a long time and not know they had it. It's commonly...
I know where I got it from.
It's commonly in the tubes. You can get discharge, irritation, painful urination, that kind of stuff.
Where'd you get it from, Nina?
My boyfriend.
How'd he get it?
We've been together 4 months, so I'm not sure how long I had it.
Where'd he get it?
He's not sure. He had a bad pass.
A bad pass.
And he had never been tested before, but I have.
And he's been treated now, too?
Yeah, we both got treatment together.
Good times.
All right. You using birth control now?
Yeah, I'm on Depo shot.
Nice.
Are you still wearing a condom in the meantime anyway, or no?
No.
Did you guys
I also wanted to ask, how long should we wait to have sex?
8 years.
No.
You can just wait till the weekend.
Yeah, God doesn't like it when you get it on during the week.
Look out, weekend.
Are you been tested for HIV and hepatitis and all
that? Yes, all that. I already got all my hepatitis shots in.
Fantastic.
I did it all at once.
Well, there's still hepatitis C, though, so.
Yeah.
Nina,
wear protection.
You take care of business.
Yes, of course. I have to be responsible.
Wow, that's nice. I like that. How old is
your got chlamydia.
Huh?
Well, she took care of it as soon as she got it.
That's true. You get kudos. Kudos.
What? How old's your boyfriend?
He's 21.
21. Is he all right? What's he do
for a living?
He works. He's a fireman for a brick company.
For a brick company.
Yeah. He watches accounts. He takes readings and stuff like that.
Would that really be called a fireman?
Yeah, they call him a fireman.
Okay. Fire safety guy.
He has to also supervise. He's only one there at night. You have to supervise the yard.
Got it.
And
got it.
All right. That's good.
That fair well. Enough. All right, game on.
Brick making's interesting. Pull that right out of the earth there. They form it up.
Do they really?
Then they fire it.
Yeah.
They're like thousands of degrees.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, saw a whole documentary on it.
what happened to bricks? I mean, everything was made out of brick, right, at one time?
Yeah.
And then it just...
Well, what ended up happening is reinforced concrete took the place of brick.
Cheaper building supplies and materials.
Concrete
profits
blocks,
go up. You know, cost of making the building goes down, and there's no art put into it.
Yeah,
it's really a bummer because we go to Europe and outside the world, you know, outside the country where there's actually some history, and
Where'd you grow up? Where'd you grow up, seriously?
I grew up in Phoenix.
Phoenix, there you go. So and, it's somewhere in the Southwest.
Oldest buildings in Phoenix were built in the 80s.
Right.
Yeah, and. You know, it's amazing. I was like, wow, look at all this masonry work. You know, this stuff, you don't find this stuff anywhere except for New York and, you know, maybe some parts in, like, the East Coast.
Yeah. Right.
Boston.
You know, throughout the country, there's some things, but there really isn't anything of, really great artistry, you know.
Well, it doesn't work out well in earthquake areas like California, especially. Brick just crumbles, like, the first thing that comes down.
It's no excuse.
Yeah, I know. Safety should not be a factor when it comes to buildings. It's
Absolutely.
All about artistry. Yeah.
Absolutely. It's all about ego, artistry, and, you know, narcissistic behavior.
Yeah, and you know, they do, I don't want to dedicate the night show to bricks, but I agree. I miss bricks myself. And I miss sayings that involve bricks, like sunk like a brick, hit the bricks.
Thick as a brick.
Thick as a brick. It's all, I don't think kids today know any brick sayings either. There's bricks of drugs and...
Brick X house.
Yeah, there's a brick S house. Yeah, what happened to bricks? They went the way of the dodo. Drew, you know what I was thinking of the other night?
Oh, no. Don't tell.
The saying, gone the way of the dodo, has gone the way of the dodo.
That's true.
Very ironic. All right.
So much so that no one will know what the F you're talking about.
All right. Okay. Anna?
Hello. Hi, I have a problem, but I just wanted to say how great I think Linkin Park is.
All right, go ahead.
Thank you.
I've been dating this guy for about a month, and like on our second date, he decided to tell me that he'd recently been divorced, and he was married for 3 years.
How old is he now?
He's 24. And I'm the same age as him.
Got it.
And last week we went out to dinner, and because he told me he doesn't really talk to his ex-wife, because when I asked him why they got divorced, he got really defensive about it, and I was like, okay, fine, whatever, and he's like, well, she started cheating on me and lying to me, and she'd have people threaten him, so he said that he filed for divorce. But we went out last week, and she kept calling him because he kept taking the phone call during dinner and walking out, and when I asked him who he keeps talking to, he said, oh, that's just my ex-wife, don't worry about it. And then, the third time she called, he came back into the restaurant, he's like, well, we got to go. I got to go right now. And I was like, well, why? And he's like, well, I just have to go. She needs to talk to me right now, and it's really important.
Do they have kids together?
No.
All right.
She is a total chaos mess. And yeah. She has got him wrapped into her web of turbulence.
Yeah,
and
he
has not extricated himself from it yet. He doesn't know how to. He's too enmeshed with her. And it's interesting that Anna sort of phrased her original sort of description of him as he's weak. You know, he's sort of she has people threatening him, and he's down and out because she doesn't want him. And so, but I'll have him. And did you get that sort of?
No, I didn't.
I got a little bit out in the
but
early.
But I was thinking of bricks.
Okay.
I mean, to be honest. Did she have a question about bricks?
Yeah, the boyfriend seems to be thick as a brick.
Not only that, I think he also seems to be carrying a load of bricks around with him.
Yes, the weight of the bricks of the world on his shoulders. But, Anna, listen, you may need to set a little, not an ultimatum, but set some boundaries with
this guy. Well, let's try to figure out what's going on here.
Well, I don't know why he... I don't know how to ask him if he's still in love with her or whatever.
No, I doubt. He's probably sick as hell of her, in fact, but he doesn't know how to get himself out of it.
Yeah, because I don't want to get into a relationship if he's just using me to occupy his time.
No, Anna, listen to me. He probably really wants out, but doesn't know how to get out.
Well, hold on, Drew. We don't know this for sure.
We don't.
Okay. He said that he divorced her about 4 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
And how long had they been broken up before they got the divorce?
I don't know. He doesn't really he doesn't specify. He just kind of
No, listen. I know what this is. No. This is somebody.
All right.
But listen. This is a woman calling going, you ruined my life. I'm going to kill myself. And he feels responsible
all
for
right.
her feelings. If they were still kind of carrying on, he'd go, hey, call me. I'm out with somebody. Call me about 2 hours. We'll get together later in the evening. And that'd be the end of it. But he can't. He can't get out of this cycle of being responsible for her chaos and feelings. And
unless they're carrying on and she found out that he was out on a date with Anna and freaked.
Well, he never mentions
no.
it. Like, when she calls, mm-hmm. he never says that he's on a date or, you know, don't call or anything like that. And I don't know if I should say anything or not.
All right. Well, here's the thing. I think it's perfectly within your right to say to him, hey, when we're going out to dinner and your phone rings off the hook and it's your ex... And then you got to go rush to see her. That doesn't sit very well.
That's not a relationship
with me.
That's not going to
work.
Now
I'll let this one slide, but this is the last one. And if it comes up again, then you got some serious talking to do.
Yes, he has to set some limits with her. If he's still in a relationship with her, fine, go have that relationship. But if it's that he feels responsible for all the depression and whatever is going on in her life right now because of this breakup.
All right.
He's got to break loose of that somehow.
Give him a pass on this one, but it can't happen again, all right?
Okay.
All right, baby doll.
Good
okay,
luck.
Thanks.
Hey, good times.
Bye.
All right. True.
You know, I think it's the responsibility of the U.S. government to do some pretty extensive brick work.
Yeah.
You know, all great empires have done something where, you know, they build these huge monumental buildings, you
mm-hmm.
know, because, you know, like we were in Milan, you know, the train station is like got Mussolini written all over it, you know. It was great. We need to do that. You know, we're going in and occupying countries. We need to, like, build a huge monumental building so that people can see that thousands of years from now.
I had proposed some years back that
yeah.
we build a 70-story barbecue in Kansas City.
Yes.
Solely out of unreinforced brick.
Yes.
That's beautiful.
And it was fine, but we could not engineer the grill. The grill was actually going to be 3 football fields long.
Well, the problem was between each, you know, little
the
slot
meat
of
would fall through.
It's 5 yards between each slot
We're,
of the
we
grill.
We have to genetically engineer chickens so the breast could be at least the size of a manhole
cover.
We're really close. And I can't talk about it, but we have some really interesting breakthroughs coming through. And we're just a few million dollars off. All right, Emma?
Yeah.
You're 15?
Did you think you put it next to the world's biggest thermometer?
Yeah, although
that would be so cool.
I got a problem with that world's biggest thermometer. You mean the one in Baker on the way
that's
to Vegas?
Not a thermometer.
It's just
a sign.
It's a big thing with lights on it, but it's not. There's no mercury in it. You know what I'm saying?
It's a sign.
Emma.
Yes.
What's up?
Hello.
What's
Hi.
Going on?
I actually have two questions. One not so important though.
Yeah.
Is it okay if I ask both of them?
Ask the important one first.
Okay. I was in a very severe anorexic. And I started going to therapy this past, after I got out of the hospital in June.
Yeah.
And the doctor said I can't have children again, probably.
Again? You've already had a child?
No, I haven't had a child. Oh. I'm a virgin, actually.
All right.
And
what was he basing that on?
I don't have really much of a uterus. I was extraordinarily anorexic. I was, I had the fuzz, and I was 90 pounds, and I was 5'6".
Yeah, but that doesn't do anything to your uterus. You mean your ovaries have shut down?
Yeah.
Do you take estrogen now?
No.
Well, if your ovaries have shut down, you should be taking estrogen.
I think he doesn't want me taking pills. My mom didn't want me taking any medication, though.
Hold on a second. Hey, Emma?
Yeah.
Are you whispering because you're at home and you don't want your folks to hear you?
Oh, no. I'm really sorry. I'm in the East Coast, so I was sort of tired. I'll try to wake myself up.
All right, let's get it together, baby doll.
I'm sorry.
Jesus Christ, I thought your dad was like cleaning a shotgun in the next room and drinking in his boxer shorts or something.
I was kind of hoping that.
I kind of was, too.
It's really funny, though. The other morning, my father's never cursed before, and I heard him really cursing in the other room. It was really scary.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad to hear
just to finish the story, what was he cursing about?
He hurt his back. It was pretty weird, though. Yeah.
But listen to Emma now. She sounds perfect.
Yeah. I woke myself up for you.
Thanks. Okay. So,
go, Emma.
Let's recap. You had a brick question. Yes?
Monuments made out of bricks. Yes.
No, you're anorexic. You're anorexic.
You're anorexic, and somebody told you that you've had premature ovarian failure.
Yeah.
Are you still menstruating?
No. Well, the problem, hopefully not the problem. Anyway, pretty much he said I can't have kids. I'm whatever, infertile, whatever. And yesterday I had vaginal bleeding. And I wonder if there's any chance I could have children because it just made me so miserable.
I've never seen what made you miserable to think about the possibility of having kids.
No, I really wanted to have children. And
come on,
Drew. What made you miserable worrying about not being fertile?
Read inflection,
all right,
buddy.
Yeah.
I've never seen an anorectic at 15 be declared ovarian failure. That's awfully young to be saying that there's no chance of the ovary cycling beginning up again.
Really?
They would have to have measured your estrogen levels, your FSH, which
I
is
was
the,
in the hospital for a month and a half.
Okay, and the pituitary response to the low estrogen, the FSH, would have to be sky high. And even then, I'd be hard-pressed to say at 15, that's it, it's shut down, never going to happen again.
So Drew, let me ask you a quick question. Are you a real doctor or just a love doctor?
Thank you.
But Emma, what about the part where the doctor gave you estrogen to take your mom said no?
My mom doesn't want me taking medications because after, when I was anorexic, I got depressed and everything, and she's afraid that I'll...
You're overdose.
Yeah.
Well, you can't really overdose on estrogen. It really can't happen. Yeah, I know you tried.
My brother went that way. It's true.
If I take estrogen, actually, will I grow? Because I've stunted my growth.
No, that will not affect the growth, but it will affect... protect your bones against osteoporosis, because if you've had ovarian failure and anorexia, you will get demineralization of your bones. So you've got to get on the estrogen.
I have a lot of bone problems now because I was one of the larger, I was a big bone mass girl.
Yeah.
And when I was anorexic, I got very eaten down.
Well,
but wait a minute, hold on. What about the part, Drew, where the doctor told her to take these
and the
pills
said no,
and the mom said no? Isn't that freaky out a little bit? And that's why she's anorexic,
because
right?
The mom is so intrusive.
Overbearing mom.
Yeah. But it's not even, she diverted a couple times that it was in fact estrogen that she was offered. She said medication is just no, which I assume were antidepressants probably.
But she never took the estrogen.
I'm not clear that she was ever actually offered estrogen.
Emma.
Yes?
Did the doctor tell you to take estrogen pills?
He told my mom about the medication.
So no. Stop with the medication. Did he tell you to take estrogen?
No.
Okay.
Oh.
Okay. Okay, that's what I thought.
All right.
But look, you need to be following doctor's direction. This is a life-threatening condition. You need to stay in treatment. It's a chronic condition. For whatever reason, your mom has stepped in and taken over. She's in control now, which, in fact, that makes your illness worse, as you well know. Get into an organization that's used to treating eating disorders, internists and doctors that are used to treating women with eating disorders, because there's a ton of metabolic things that need to be attended to make sure you don't have serious problems down the road.
All right. We're going to take a quick break. Linkin Park is in studio tonight. We'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Drew, easy. Mics are hot. Chester and Brad both here tonight from Linkin Park. we're going to hear something else off the CD in the 11 o'clock hour. We'll get back to the phones. Got a question for the band. Kevin.
Yeah.
You're 18. What's up?
I just wanted to say that I love Linkin Park. I love Meteora and Hybrid Theory. I think they rock. And I had a question about Japanimation.
Yes.
And about how some people have taken Linkin Park songs and put it into the Japanimation, like in the background.
Yes.
And I want to know if the guys have seen any of it.
That stuff's on a lot, like on the internet, right? Like,
yeah, it's all over the place.
I know it's out there, but I haven't seen a lot of it.
Is that Japanese animation?
Yeah, I think it's great because I'm a big supporter of anything artistic, and you know, people do things on the internet where you know they go home and they splice up their favorite you know cartoon movie and they put our music over it and it all goes to the beat, and I think it's a great way for people to learn how to edit and learn how to expand their creativity, and those are the people that are going to be the future directors and movie editors and.
So it's flattering when
I think
you see
it's
that
great.
Stuff.
I think anything.
No one's profiting off it, right?
As long as no one's stealing anything, and as long as no one's doing anything illegal, I think it's great that people, you know, are using our music and doing creative things with it for themselves. I think that's awesome.
Yeah, and we've talked about this. We're talking about it a little earlier with in the week, I think, with Cold, and then maybe with Steven from Third Eye Blind. But this sort of thing about the internet
Stephen.
Downloading Stephen.
Or you heard the show last night.
Stephan.
I got
mean,
that
what,
part
that's
of it.
Stephen? All right. Anyway, don't get me going. But the point is it's on one hand, I think a lot of bands don't like the downloading and that kind of stuff, or even using it for other things without their permission. But on the other hand, doesn't that just sort of get your music really sort of permeated into society? I mean, it gets it on every
kid's
computer.
It doesn't hurt bands who sell records. It hurts bands that are low, that are underground, and that are on independent labels, and that are bands that don't sell as many albums, but they still have a core fan base that they can still tour, and they get dropped, and they don't, you know, they don't get tour support because they're not selling their records, and their fans don't get to see them anymore. Those are the people that it really hurts.
For us, though, the internet's always been really helpful. Like, when we were starting out, we didn't have the money to go tour around the country or internationally, and so we'd put our songs up on MP3s, and we'd have people download them, and we actually built a fan base just using the internet, which is basically free. So I think it's a really awesome way to get your music out when you're starting out.
Right. Yeah. All right. So it's sort of a double-edged sword.
Yeah, it really is.
Can help and can hurt. And I think the jury's still sort of out as to whether it does, whether it's stealing or you're losing money or you're making money. But let's talk to James, who's 28. James?
Hello.
What's up?
Oh, not too much. Shout out to Linkin Park. You guys rock.
Thank you.
I had a question. What is HPV?
Human papilloma virus.
That's right.
Warts.
It's warts.
Is it? Yep.
Okay. What? How do I keep from getting this if I'm involved with a person that has it?
A boy or a girl?
A female.
Female.
Did she say she had HPV?
Yeah.
You wear a condom religiously. And even then, it's possible you can get it. If she has warts visible, she is.
What is that, a truck?
No, a motorcycle. Bus?
Motorcycle.
I'm in Tucson, they're everywhere.
If she has warts visible, she's more contagious than if they get the actual wart itself under control. But she will she'll for many years be contagious with that, and possibly for an extended period of time.
Okay.
And it's no big deal to you. It's not going to harm you, although if it gets in the anal area, it can cause anal cancer.
That's going to be tough, though, with a lady, right?
Anal to anal.
Yeah. Huh.
I mean, you give it a try, but it's going
to
be tough.
Think of how that would work and what that would do for you. But be that as it may, and if you get it, you can, of course, transmit it to other people, and that's where it really becomes a problem. Because for women, certain other wart viruses increases the risk of cervical cancer. We're finding now that many of these viruses go away by themselves after a couple of years, but the ones that stick around are the ones that cause the cancer.
There's no wart problem with oral sex, is there?
Not to speak of.
All right.
I mean, it's a theoretic thing, but I don't think
never,
it's a big
never
deal.
Hear about it. All right, James.
All right, thanks, guys.
Good times.
All right, boink away.
Let's go to break.
Yeah, let's just... Let's see. You want to tease that one? I want to tease this one. Right. Sarah?
Hello?
You're 22?
Yes.
You have a kid?
Yeah.
First kid was premature?
Yeah.
How premature?
He was born at 24 weeks.
Oof.
Wow.
Eesh, that's like a pound and a half.
Yeah, that's...
Yeah.
24 weeks. How many months is that?
I think it was 6 months.
Four and a half?
Yeah.
Okay, so...
You shouldn't, you know, they try... The earliest they try to, you know, keep the babies in, they'll try to stop the...
32 weeks, you want to get past.
You want at least
32.
30, yeah, at least past 35.
28 is crisis time.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Is the kid all right?
Yeah, he's doing great.
Wow, it's amazing.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
All right, so the question was, or is...
What's the question?
See, when I had my son, they said that there was an infection that had caused his premature birth.
Yeah.
But they didn't really specify what it was.
Could be just vaginitis. That's even associated with, or uterine infection.
Well.
Or endometrial or uterine infection.
Toxemia.
There's all kinds of infections. That's not an infection. It does, but it's not an infection.
Chester's an expert on breaks and premature
babies. That's right.
Birth.
Well, actually, now I have a daughter because my son's 14 months old.
All right.
And my daughter is 3 months old.
Okay.
And, when I got pregnant with her, you know, they test you, you know, for STDs.
All right, hold on. We got to go right.
We're back.
I wanted to do the little tease thing. I thought you would shout out her question, but keeping consistent with Loveline, we didn't get
they
it.
They won't block
it. We'll get back. We'll talk to her about that with Linkin Park after this. Everybody, it's Loveline.
Sorry, guys.
Chester and Brad are both here from Linkin Park.
Good times.
A little craft work in the background.
Woo! I'm tripping.
Hey, who is that? I always ask that.
Fisher Spooner, man.
Fisher Spooner.
Of course.
They make a hell of a speaker. Or is it a dish? It's a high-end dishwasher, they make.
Yeah.
I got to figure that out. All right. So, Linkin Park here. We're going to hear something off the CD in this break. Sometime, so you guys in the booth there can figure out what cut we're going to hear next. We can speak to Sarah, who we were speaking to before we went to break. She had a kid prematurely at 24 weeks, and she has another child now, right?
Yes.
And the first child was premature because of some infection, and now the question is what?
I wanted to know if gonorrhea could have caused it, because when I had my daughter, I tested positive for gonorrhea.
Oh, my God. Well, how are you getting all these STDs while you're pregnant?
Well, I don't know. See, I wanted to know
you're
also...
You're stinking whore.
Another question.
Yeah?
You wanted to know what? You wanted to know what?
Well, it's like I've been with the same person for 4 years, and I didn't get tested for STDs with my son for some reason. I don't know why.
Well, even there are many different kinds of infections that can cause premature birth. You can get infections of the uterus itself. You can get infections in the vagina. You can get STDs. You can get infections in the tube. All kinds of things can predispose to it. Even just urinary tract infections put you at risk of premature labor. So unless they told you what it was, it's very hard to speculate what it was. The fact that you had gonorrhea on the second birth, I find quite bizarre. That nobody had picked that up before. I wonder if it was a false positive. Did they treat you before the child was delivered?
Yes, they did.
All right. All right. So how's it going now? How old are the kids?
One is 14 months old. That's my son. And then my daughter's 3 months old.
And the guy that is the father of both is still around?
Yes.
Right. Is he cheating on you?
Not that I know of, and I don't know. I really hope not, because I asked him, and, you know, basically I got...
Did he get tested?
Cheating. Yeah, we both got tested.
Was he positive for gonorrhea?
Yes.
He was.
Where do you think he... But that's not the kind of thing you harbor for many years,
not
is it?
Not for a guy, no.
So where does he say he picked it up?
You know, he basically thinks it's me.
Yeah, it's convenient to kind of turning the tables on
you're
you.
You're sitting around pregnant for the last 2.5 years.
Yeah.
Sarah is not a detail-oriented
what's
person.
What's he do? Is he on the road a lot?
No, uh-uh.
Oh, bad sign.
What's he do? Does he work around metal?
Or right now, what does he do?
He does maintenance for an abused child's home.
Oh, my God.
Really? So he's picking up some of the strays, maybe. Uh-oh. Come on, Drew. He wouldn't do that. How old are the kids?
People are sick, man.
How old are the kids?
One's 14 months, and then the other's...
No.
The kids
that he works with.
Right.
He works around.
No, they're, I think they're between, like, the ages of 13 and 15.
Oh.
Yeah. Come here and give me a hug.
That's my wheelhouse. Job doesn't pay much, but a lot of benefits. A lot of benefits.
That worries me, I got to tell you. Yeah, it's funny, but it isn't.
It's funny for me, but it's funny, not funny for
you. Even if he's not a sicko, like we love to think he is,
No.
I think that he's definitely cheating on you. I mean,
did he have any sexual abuse history in childhood?
Him?
Yes, him.
Not that I know of.
You might just ask that question. If he has a history of anything like that, that would sort of, for me, be sufficient evidence to throw the book at him.
I can see it now. Throwing the book?
Yeah. That went with bricks. You'd throw brick through the window. And you'd throw
I don't know.
Hit him in the head with it.
All right. Well, Sarah, I'm glad you're so jovial about the whole situation.
Yeah, hey, kudos.
But, yeah, I wish I had your spirit or...
insolence.
Or whatever it is, yes.
Medication.
But this gonorrhea thing's a little hard to wrap my mind around.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
it's not like warts or something.
No,
yeah.
It's a short-lived thing, and you know you got it when you got it.
Are you guys married?
No,
Why not? Why not?
Why not?
Yeah.
I don't know. We have a hard time getting along with each other sometimes.
Oh, boy.
Okay. Well, yeah. Maybe slow down on the kids just a little bit, huh, sweetie pie?
I got fixed.
You got fixed?
Hallelujah.
That doesn't mean you shouldn't wear protection, you know.
Oh, I know.
All right.
Condom still, right?
Yes.
All right.
she took that real serious.
She finds humor in everything, doesn't she?
God bless her. Oh, I can see this guy working at the... You know, if you think about that, you doing maintenance at one of those homes
for runaway kids. Who would be the one victimizing the kids or taking it, you know?
He's got all them keys.
Hey, let me tell you, that kind of stuff happens at psychiatric hospitals and stuff, too. People that aren't sort of trained to understand what they're coming in contact with. They come with very provocative, sexualized kids who are abused sexually. Think, well, this girl's into me.
Drew, if you, and I know we're maybe spinning off a little bit here, but... Hypothetically, if you have a group of kids that were, you know, taken out of their home, runaways, that kind of stuff. I mean, you
sexual abuse way up the scale.
Sexuality going on there.
Oh, yes.
And it wouldn't be uncommon for a 14, 15-year-old girl
to act out on
anyone who was around.
That's right. And if you had somebody really to understand what that meant. And listen, I'm telling you that... It's one of the things I wrote about in my new book called Cracked, which has now changed its name from Utter Hell because in August.
It's not out yet.
But it is one of the things I wrote about is that people don't understand those sorts of limits and what it means when people behave like that.
Yeah.
In our culture, it's like, oh, that's cool. She's just into sex. A big deal, you know. No.
Right.
No.
All right. All right.
She's 15.
I got to get a gig up at one of those places.
No kidding.
Callie?
Hi. How's it going?
You're 20?
That's right.
What's up?
Just really quick, I want to say all you guys are great. Adam and Drew, you guys rock. Linkin Park, you guys are great, too. La Meteora is awesome. Keep up the good work.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Basically, my question is for Chester. Chester, I've heard of your efforts to bring awareness to and try to help stop the problem of child sexual abuse. And I was just wondering, because that's something that I want to try to get into, too. That's a cause I want to get involved with. And I was wondering if you have any suggestions for any groups or programs to get involved with, because... It doesn't seem like there's really a lot out there that's available.
Well, there's a lot of help out there. I mean, there's support groups, and, you know, the thing is a lot of these issues are dealt with in a private setting and therapy and stuff like that, or they're not dealt with at all, pretty much. Mm-hmm. So it's not like people like to go to a group and talk about...
What about RAIN?
Their kind of things like
right.
that.
RAIN?
I've never heard of that, as a matter of fact.
Tori Amos's group. Yeah.
These are those gold dust moments.
There she is.
That's her.
But I mean, I honestly don't know. I just try to. I mean, my whole thing is that it's so rampant, like especially in this country, that you know, just talking about it is good enough. You know, and just letting people know about it. I don't really know of any specific groups.
I'll tell you what. This is something that Adam and I also feel very strongly about, and two areas that we feel. Need work. One is that the whole area of the science of the study of trauma survivorship is expanding rapidly, and you can get involved with that in this very interesting field that is sort of revolutionizing how we approach people with behavioral and mental problems as a result of trauma
survivorship. Well, you mean she can get into it
studying and get into that field. So the other thing, though, is the bigger issue is why the government doesn't pay any attention to this.
Right.
And how you can become sort of active, an activist, and somehow getting the attention of your representatives to create laws, to create boundaries, to create incentives or disincentives to the kind of behaviors that fuel the behavioral
it's
problems.
It's because the catching the criminals is more important than giving the victim support.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's more important to put the guy who touched the little girl in prison than it is to actually worry about what those effects of that little girl is going to have on the rest of her life.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's the way it usually works with all types of, you know, victim crimes.
Well, but... but you know, the other side of that coin is that the victims, most likely, if they're males, end up being the victimizers of the future. So it would behoove the government
to stop it.
To not only stop it, but treat the kids.
Well, that's how I'm saying. That's stopping it, in essence. I mean, it's like with everything else. If you don't hit your kids aren't going to grow up to learn how to hit people. So
right.
If you don't sexually molest your kids, then they're not going to grow up and be, you know, sex addicts or get into porn or become junkies
either.
You know, or do strange things, you know, chronic masturbators or whatever. It doesn't matter.
Whoa.
I've told you a million times, Adam. No, you won't take it from me, but from Linkin Park.
No, he crossed the line
this kid.
He looked at me when he said that.
What can you say?
I'm trying to do that because I try to find members of the club.
Oh, okay. As long as we're on the same team. Well, here's the thing too that Drew and I are always interested in an angry sort of way, which is we believe that the government's job is to protect its citizens from crime and to, you know, keep the streets clean and the water pure and all that kind of stuff. And there's a finite amount of time and money that can be dedicated to each topic, whether it's crime or pollution. We think, shouldn't it be spent in the most efficient way possible, which is instead of waiting for people to commit these crimes, to build more prisons, to assign them parole officers and all this kind of stuff, shouldn't we find the people that are high risk? The people that, like I always say this, Drew's got three kids, we don't have to worry about them. They got Drew and his pain in the ass wife. They're never going to do anything wrong. Maybe an eating disorder. They may dabble in some homosexuality. But nothing that society has to worry about. And if they do, Drew has plenty of money to pay for rehab. Right. No doubt. You do have some set aside for that.
For rehab, specifically.
Okay. All right. Now, there are other people who don't have that luxury. And people who are victimized and people that were
abused. Which is pretty much almost everyone.
It's growing higher because the more people that got victimized, the more people that victimize as they get older. Right. And these are the people I would like the resources and the focus on earlier on so that we don't have to build the prisons and do the parole officers and all that later on.
It's not only preventing, you know, crimes where there are, you know, other people involved, where there's victims involved. It's also preventing filling up the prisons with criminals who are doing victimless crimes like heroin addicts and crack addicts and cocaine addicts and people who are doing these kinds of things because of the things that happened to them in the past.
I will tell you
and
what.
And then they're going to jail simply because they have no self-esteem and they want to go buy some heroin.
As a addiction specialist, I've begun to think of myself as a traumatologist because every one of my inpatients, everyone is a trauma survivor.
Yeah.
And so there you go.
Yes.
That's it.
Yeah, I'd always, whenever we do hear about these task forces that are trying to stop, you know, the John from getting the hooker, the consensual
never
crimes.
Never going to happen.
I just, the amount of time, effort, and resources that are sunk into that. I mean, when Heidi Fleiss came on this show a few years back, wasn't her last appearance, but the time before that, the time I was threatened to be sued by the L.A. Police Department or something, but it was a big debacle. But the point is the amount of time, officers, and effort they had into going after Heidi Fleiss would boggle your mind. I mean, of course, every officer's going to sign up for this detail. You want to pose as a Japanese businessman and get a hand job, or do you want to go down to Watts? And
I'm going to Watts, man.
Yeah,
I'm going to go catch some speeders.
I'm getting the handy. From the runaway, believe you me. But I don't blame the guys. But the point is the amount of resources we had into, like, just going after her was amazing. And it would sicken you if you heard about the and they're always saying we have a limited amount of resources, we have a limited amount of men. You then need to do what we want you to do, and that's go after violent crime and crimes of that nature.
Ba-ba-ba.
Thank you.
Hear a song?
Oh, yeah. Ba-ba-ba?
Ba-ba.
Okay. Want to hear a song? Anderson, how you doing there?
No.
You queued up? You ready to go?
Yeah.
All right. This one is called Breaking the Habit.
You try to start again. I don't want to be the one the battles always choose, 'cause inside I realize that I'm the one confused. I don't know what's worth fighting for or why I have to scream. I don't know why I instigate and say what I don't mean. I don't know how I got this way. I know it's not alright, so I'm breaking the habits. I'm breaking the habits tonight.
Dr. Bruce is in here. Dr. Bruce not only screws up the shows he's in, but can screw up shows he's not in by hanging out and distracting people.
I've had anal sex and I've passed out a couple times.
Please, please, we've heard it 100 times before. Linkin
that was
Park.
Great.
Linkin Park in the studio tonight. We'll take another call. Speak to Esteban.
Hey.
Esteban?
Yeah, I think Dr. Drew needs to be the next Surgeon General.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Adam needs to be the vice president, and well, Arnold needs to be president.
What about Chester and me?
Yeah.
Secretary of State and Department of Defense.
We need honorary cabinet positions.
There we go. But you know what? I had some uninhibited, unprotected oral sex, and I wanted to know what were some of the possible STD risk factors.
You can get any STD that you could get from your genitals touching somebody else's genitals, you can get from your mouth touching somebody's genitals.
But you don't,
or somebody's mouth touching your genitals.
The warts don't seem to go that way.
Except the warts, probably, yeah. And the things like hepatitis C probably don't transmit that way. And although HIV has been documented for the receptive oral partner in male oral sex. Does that make sense?
So the person giving
the blowjob can get HIV.
That's the receptive one?
The stuff's going into that person.
All right.
The semen
but the
going
other
in.
Guy's receiving the BJ.
Yeah, you're right.
Okay. It's
receptive,
a push.
Yeah.
It's
so
a jizz push.
It's a push.
So the person receiving can get HIV?
That's not been proven, but it's presumed to occur.
Is this with a guy or a gal?
It was with a guy.
All right.
Yeah. And all the other usual sexually transmitted diseases other than warts can certainly occur.
Which
oral sex is sex.
Yeah, oral sex is sex. Use
which,
a condom.
Which end of the boner were you on? The business end or the ball end?
I was both, actually.
Oh, you went back and forth?
Yeah.
Okay. So you got
business,
one and he got
and
one. Business and ball? Okay.
Yeah.
If you're on the ball end of the boner, it's your boner, right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
okay.
But then afterwards he told me he had a retainer, so that kind of freaked me out.
A retainer?
Yeah.
Why is that freaking you out?
Well, I just thought, maybe I'd get a cut or something.
From the plastic?
Yeah.
Did you get a cut?
I didn't notice anything.
He kept his retainer in while he gave you a blowjob?
Yeah.
Horrible etiquette.
He's very dedicated to his orthodontist.
How old is he?
Under no circumstances can you take this retainer out while you're awake, Phil.
Did he have his headgear on?
He was probably like around 24.
Let me tell you something about the gays and braces. I have seen 3 or 4 guys with adult males with braces. I mean, guys in their 40s, late 30s, that kind of thing, all gay. Because these are the only guys who would bother fixing their teeth that far. You know, straight guy would be like, F it, I'm married. I don't give a rat's ass what I look like. I look like snaggle puss. I don't care. Gay guys are like, they're going to make a move on those teeth. You know what I mean? Yeah, they didn't get the braces when they were younger because they didn't know they're going to be gay. Now that they're gay, you got to retrofit. We had a gay landlord in my first apartment with, there's a 45-year-old guy with full set of braces. It's disconcerting. It's kind of weird, although I can see it being a little bit of a turn-on for the fellas.
That's nice.
Yeah. I'm just thinking about that. This is the guy that when I bought the speakers from the guy in the parking lot out of the van, and we were testing out, I think, Spanish Fly by Van Halen. I had it cranked all the way up. He was pounding on our door and trying to tell us we owed him. I bounced a rent check. Remember that story?
Yeah.
Bong going, slot car set.
Rabbit running
wild. Yeah, it's the worst thing that can ever happen to you and your landlord, which is the guy who owned my apartment, he was coming over for some reason in the middle of the day, in the middle of the week, to tell me and my 3 roommates who lived in a 1-bedroom in North Hollywood that we'd bounced a rent check. And for some reason, we were all home that day. I didn't go to work. My buddy DeWeese didn't go to work.
That's probably why the rent check bounced.
Could have been it. We took a lot of days off. Inside of the apartment was, and this is when you open the front door, it was a 1-bedroom apartment, went right into the living room. We had we had 2 rabbits that we'd let run wild in the house, chase around. A small kitten that used to chase the rabbits around, which was, you never seen something so cute.
When you were high.
Full slot car set. We were 20, 21, full slot car set in the living room, and a big bong that was like a monolith. It was a testament to our sloth, just right in the middle of this thing. And I just bought 2 speakers from a guy in a van, and we plugged them in, and my buddy said, I'm going to put this Van Halen CD in. And he just this crazy Van Halen guitar solo, and he kept turning it louder and louder and louder. He wanted to test the speakers. And I was like, my God, is this loud? But it was like noon, and it was Tuesday. I figured the whole building was at work, and he cranked it. And we're just sitting there stone listening, and I wasn't hearing sounds because it was too loud, but I was hearing a vibration come from the front door. It just sounded like kunk, kunk. And I said, Weezer, turn that, let me. And they turned it down. It was kunk. And I opened the door.
The Weeze.
We called him Don. Well, his name is Don, but he was a sex weasel, so we called him the Weeze. Anyway, door swung open. There was Jim with the braces, and he just looking at the rabbits and the cat and the bong and the slot car. I'm wearing a towel. Weeze got a bathrobe. My buddy Chris runs and hides, you know, in panic, and I just stood there, and he just kept shaking his head. He was so speechless.
Didn't know what to say.
And I wrote him another check.
That bounced, too.
That bounced,
of course.
There you go. Yeah. All right.
People don't disappoint, Adam.
No, they don't. Lincoln. Well, he went straight to the bank from the place. I thought I could beat him to the bank. Lincoln Park here. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, yo, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Drew. Phone number, 1-800-LOVE-191. Chester and Brad here tonight from Lincoln Park. Let's see. Any Lincoln Park stuff? Want to give a website address or anything like that?
We officially have nothing to promote.
That's nice. I'm glad.
they don't need to promote.
I guess not, but it's always nice when a band comes in with nothing to pimp.
Yeah, we got nothing.
Management used to tell us when we were going in anywhere, you know, plug the show on the 23rd and plug the thing you're doing with MTV, and at this point, it's just, I don't know.
Yeah.
No, you got enough fans.
We're trying to rely on our wit right now.
Can you talk about the wedding?
What wedding?
Okay, I guess you can.
True.
That Billy Idol song?
Yeah.
White Wedding?
White Wedding.
Yeah, we're doing a remix.
Somebody's getting married? Who's getting married, Drew?
I don't know.
I think everybody's. I think all the guys are following my lead. Finally, you know.
Oh, the rest of the. Well,
yeah,
Brad's getting married.
You know, I'm trying to work it out where everybody gets married, kind of, you know, sporadically, so we can take some time off.
Right.
Oh, that's good.
You know.
Yeah.
Right. Yes. We have bachelor parties. Yeah.
That's why we have so many guys in the band. Actually, we thought about this before. So
spread out your vacation.
If everyone gets married, we'll have at least 5 months off in the foreseeable future.
That's good.
Right.
Yeah.
Meteora, by the way, is the name of the CD. It is out as we speak. And let's talk to Lindsay, who's 27. Lindsay?
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Hi.
Okay.
How you doing?
I'm good.
Huh?
I am actually just finishing business school, and I was out with a bunch of my friends. I go to business school in Claremont, and we went to a bar out there, which is not something I do that often in Claremont, and there was Jell-O wrestling with these girls in, like, G-strings and really, really tiny bikini tops.
Nice.
Lesbian.
Right?
It was, yeah, kind of crazy. But I was just a little bit concerned about, you know, I mean, is this something that's legal? I mean, their tops were off. They were pouring beer all over each other and licking it off each other.
Did you?
Yeah, it's legal.
Did you wrestle?
No. I was just a witness, Adam. Just a witness.
And you're a lesbian.
The girls, Drew, please. The girls wrestle guys?
No, they wrestle each other.
Oh, they wrestle each other.
What's this place called?
Yeah, we may swing by there after the show.
I'm into Drew's theory.
How many? I'm sorry, what?
The lesbian theory?
Yeah.
Well, they're not really.
We think you are.
Are you a lesbian, Lindsay?
No, I'm not.
Why did you go to the bar?
I'm curious about it.
I just went with some of my friends. As I said, they were like, oh, this will be this sort of funny thing. It was mostly guys. I went with my one other girlfriend, Gigi. And we really had kind of no idea.
She was like,
All right, so.
Whatever.
Okay. But you want to know if this is legal.
So I was like, at the bar, and like these girls were like, wrestling and Jell-O, and I was like,
is this legal?
And then I was like, whatever.
Anderson, you're missing your whatever cue. That's your favorite drop. Come on.
Whatever.
Listen, you know, I find
funny, Anderson's whatever drop is a whatever response to me getting him to do it.
Exactly.
Then I was with Drew at the hospital, and he was doing his hernia operation.
Yeah, whatever.
Come on, Anderson. Let's do a couple of those. Go ahead, Brad. Scat, buddy.
Yeah,
that's all I got.
Oh, okay. All right, so, wait.
It's cracking under the pressure,
Lindsay.
Brad.
Lindsay.
Okay.
Yeah.
You understand that there are strip clubs and all kinds of clubs where people do...
Just like a regular bar.
I know, but they can do crazy things with nude women at bars. That's part of the what happens.
Well, there is... Lindsay makes a point, or maybe she's not aware of it, but if you're showing boob, you can only... serve beer.
Right.
And if you're showing full nudity, you can only serve soda.
Correct.
And if you're in bikinis, you can have a full bar, but then it's kind of cheating when you have a full bar and the boobs start popping out of the bikinis.
Okay.
You see, what are you thinking about doing about it, Lindsay?
You know what? I was looking for an excuse to get on your show. I drive home and listen to you guys two nights a week. And I have for 2 years, and I just finished business school, and
you know
I finally
had
some
to call. Hey, you know that USC's done a study recently on business school students, and you want to tell them?
I can't divulge
the results. Okay, we can't tell you the results.
A little touché for the wedding talk.
You know, the most interesting loophole in the topless industry that I've seen was... we went to a topless bar in Florida, and it was considered, you know, not a topless bar so they could have the liquor license.
Right, that's literally
the nipples had to be covered. So the girls were topless, but they covered their nipples with clear latex. Oh. So you could actually see the nipples, and it was just glossy.
My
question was to one of the girls, I said, why do all the girls have such glossy nipples in here? It's weird. And she told me the loophole, and I thought it was brilliant.
Yeah.
I mean, that's pure genius.
It wouldn't be a bad name for a club either, the Loophole.
I think they should change their name to that.
I always love it. It's really, it's my favorite part about laws, and I love it with tax laws, and I love it with the Bible, too. It's
technicalities.
Like somebody lays it down, and then we get some smart, crafty, hungry people to just weave their way around the obstacle of litigation. Yeah, I love that. David?
Yeah.
You're 15?
Huh?
What's up?
First, I got to tell you guys, you did a great job on that Adam and Dr. Drew book. Just got that from the library and finished it today.
Library.
Wow.
Didn't know it was in the library.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Adam.
But
oh, he's been on hold for 121 minutes.
Yeah.
Wow.
What's up? Problem is, I got a crush on this one girl who's the pastor's daughter at my church. And not only that, she was involved with one of my best friends.
What do you mean involved?
Well, she was kind of going out with him, kind of not.
How kind of not? How was it kind of not?
They weren't getting physical because she's pastor's daughter. They can't do anything like
that. Yeah, but short of that, they were dating.
Yeah.
Does he mind you going after her?
Well, I mean, he doesn't really know.
Well, I wouldn't do it without talking to him.
Yeah, he's going to be mad, dude.
Were they broken up?
Yeah.
They're broken up now.
Yeah.
How long have they been broken up?
Well, I don't know. I haven't been hanging out with him. He's been acting like kind of an ass lately.
Yeah, maybe because
he knows.
Yeah, you're going after his girlfriend.
No, I mean, he doesn't even know about that or anything.
Yeah.
It's just because he acts like an ass to me because he wants to impress his cousins and stuff and act hecka hard.
Okay.
Punch him in the face.
Yeah. But wait a minute. So, David, now the question, too, with as far as guys you know, and you guys tell me what you think of this, but the rule is, there's two rules. If a guy you know dated a girl and you want to date her.
6 month rule.
Either 6 months has to go by, or if you're, but that number changes. 6 months if you're an adult. Hey, if you're 15, three months is a pretty good stretch when you're 15.
Right.
Or he has to dump her.
And give you permission.
No, he dumps her. Meaning, he's done with her.
But you still got to go, hey, you know, I know you don't like her, but I thought
it would. It would be nice, but it's a different story if she breaks his heart and you start dating her.
That's true. Yeah. I mean, not only that, but it also, I think, if you're at 15 years old and you're dating someone for a long time, like, you know, 6 months or a year, you pretty much should just stay away from the girl, period. If it's like he went out with her for a month, you know, they went to a couple movies and they, you know, maybe kissed or something once or maybe pecked each other or held hands or whatever. You know, give it time, but it's still risky business, man.
Sitting around with your older ladies. It's a good point, which is if they had a substantial, you know, if they're boyfriend and girlfriend from the 9th grade to the 11th grade or something, then that's too
Stay
weird.
Stay away.
Yeah, that's too long. But
there's no term.
David?
Huh.
Okay, so do you know who dumped who in this relationship?
Not really.
You don't know many details. You don't sweat the details.
You're pissed off at your friend. Why don't you square that out first before you destroy this relationship further?
Screw him, though. You're not hanging with him anymore. You like her. Why don't you just go ask her out?
You guys are like the angel and the devil.
Yeah. Why don't you date her? Go ahead.
Not to say who's who.
Well, I mean, it's like because the pastor, her father, too, that's one of the reasons why they had to break up.
Really?
Because the pastor won't let his daughter date?
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe the pastor didn't like that guy.
No.
Which could be even worse because if they still want to date each other and then you move in.
Do they allow dancing in your town?
This is like Footloose, isn't it?
Are you in Connecticut?
Is this Kevin Bacon?
where are you?
Me?
Yeah. Just don't do the dance in the barn, please.
I'm in the Bay Area.
Bay Area.
All right. Hey, David.
Yeah.
Maybe there's too many strikes against this relationship with the pastor and your buddy. Why don't you just go find a fresh chick to date?
Fresh chick.
Know what I mean?
Yeah.
They're a dime a dozen up there in the Bay Area.
Yeah.
All the guys are gay. They're hungry for any straight guy. You probably date like a 26-year-old attorney who's a model.
And it sounds like she's the kind of girl that's really not going to, you know, be really great to date until she's older anyways, you know?
Yeah, although the pastor-daughter thing turns out to be kind of crazy.
That's what I'm saying. You know, give it a few years, let her marinate, and she's going to be an animal.
It's true, yeah. You let her
percolate.
Let her get good and repressed, and then she'll explode.
She's probably ready to blow. I mean, pardon the pun.
Pardon.
But anytime now. Michelle?
Hi.
What's up? You're 26.
Yes. Well, the real reason I called was because I used to work with Linkin Park back at NRG in April of 2000. And I just wanted to call and say congratulations on all their success. And
thank you.
I'm going to be seeing them at the Summer Sanitarium Tour.
Word.
So I just basically called to say hello.
Cool. What are you doing now?
I'm sorry?
What do you do now?
I'm sorry, one more time?
What do you do now?
Oh, I'm working in a game store, but I'm actually looking for a job in a studio.
Oh,
game store in Pasadena?
What kind of game store?
The Gamekeeper in the mall.
Oh,
yeah.
I had a hateful roommate who worked at one of those places once.
Weirdos come in there.
Yeah, a bunch of guys want to buy Dungeon and Dragon pieces.
You know, mullets.
That kind of stuff, yeah. All right, well, hey,
thank you for calling.
Good times.
My pleasure.
Hey, Michelle.
Yes.
You guys carry Parcheesi?
We do.
I'd like you to push that. because I feel like it's
needs
slipping
a
away.
Yeah,
it's
got to
make a comeback.
Okay.
It's going the way of the dodo.
Thanks, Michelle.
It absolutely is. Parcheesi, the dodo, and the bricks are all going the way of the dodo. All right, so hit those bricks and push that Parcheesi.
Will do.
All right.
Hitting the bricks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's going to be curtains for you. You better hit the bricks. Linkin Park here tonight. We're going to hit the bricks toward the toilet. Yes, Drew?
Yeah.
All right, we'll be back after this. Buddy, Loveline, I'm Adam. That's Drew, Chester, and Brad here tonight from Linkin Park. Always good to see Linkin Park. And, again, tickled pink by the success of Linkin Park. Nice guys. Good to see them. And nice to have caught them early in their career as well, too. Before we
became totally jaded and unapproachable.
Yeah, that was, what was that, about 3 years?
Yeah. When they became unapproachable?
Yeah. No, that's recent. That's been recently. But, I mean, when did we meet Linkin Park, bro? Three and
two
change?
And two and a half.
Yeah.
Two and change.
Yeah. Weren't you actually in the band at one point?
I played that Hollowed Out Fish.
Right.
Yeah, with the
it's too bad it didn't work out. Too bad you...
And the flugelhorn.
Yeah, and the flugel.
And the cowbell.
It's too bad you couldn't get your look together, because I know that that was really the only thing that you needed to work on, and it just didn't happen.
I know, but it's like, I didn't want to get the tat and the big hoop earring. The look. I always like the band advertisements in the back of the band magazines where they discuss the look at length. It's got to make you a little suspicious about the band. Always the influences, and then right to the look.
My favorite is, the 80s hair bands who are like, you know, we're all about being real and, like, you know, we've got this hardcore image.
Right.
And, you know, like, we're slobs. And they all were, like, spend like 4.5 hours getting ready.
Hey, let's say, like, attitude, a must.
Yeah.
In the back of the
must have
band
van.
Magazine.
Must have it usually says, like, must have transportation.
Brandon?
Yeah.
You're 17?
Yeah.
You got a question for Linkin Park?
Yeah. Oh, wow. It's a real honor to be able to talk to all of you.
Thanks.
In your new video, Somewhere I Belong?
Yes.
Some friends of mine and I noticed the models that are on the dresser.
Yes.
The Gundam models.
Mm-hmm.
We recognize those from the series and all that, and I was wondering what the significance of the models were.
Joe likes robots. That's
awesome.
Really what it comes down to. Joe wrote the treatment, and it took place in my room, you know, this room that he had developed. And it really basically was his room, because it has toys and robots and all this kind of stuff. And I was like, hey, Joe, you know, this is supposed to be my room, you know. Can we lose the toys? And it didn't work, so they stayed in.
Cool.
Yeah. It was to represent a piece of the room coming to life in a different way somehow in my dream state. So they kind of needed to use something in different points, and that happened to be one of them.
We are we're making a little progress with robots. You see that Honda robot? It walks upright now,
wow.
And they move around on, you know, they can move their legs and stuff. They don't have to be on a tank tread
have
or
you
anything
seen, like,
anymore.
Old TV shows recently from like the 70s or the 80s where the family buys a robot.
Yeah, I always do. I do like that. The wisecracking robot.
The big black one with the weird expandable arms and the head that.
Yeah.
I was always on Mork and Mindy, you know what I mean? That robot showed up on a lot of TV shows.
I'm trying to think of something that has been around longer but is not yet functional. You know what I mean? Like the notion of the robot, like one day we'll have this machine that will cater to you, will clean your house, it will stop, it will protect
you. The flying
you.
Car.
Flying car is, yeah.
That, but
true.
There was a whole thing about the kitchen of the future.
Yes. I mean,
that food was going to be add water to pellets.
Yeah.
And you're going to have a turkey dinner kind of thing.
Yeah.
And there was going to be, and everything was going to be sort of behind, again, the whole thing about the doors. The door is going to be different in the kitchen.
Yeah.
You don't have those in your kitchen?
You don't have the door?
Yeah. Those
yeah, that door.
Those doors.
You don't have that, Andrea. Chris?
Hi.
You're 23?
Yes, I sure am.
Drew's got a robot vacuum cleaner in his house,
yes,
don't
I do.
You?
Yeah, I got it from my parents.
And I got one too. We call it a Mexican.
You know, no, is it true that they're developing they're engineering robots that can actually live inside your body and clean out your arteries and fight infections and things
not
like that?
Not living inside, but that sort of will have directed activities.
Like a,
see, now that's cool.
Yeah, like the Polaris in your pool.
Yes.
Yeah, you know, like AIDS and stuff will be, because you'll have a little robot in there that
fights. It's more, I think it's going to be more like Fantastic Voyage, where it goes to parts of your body that you can't get to surgically and takes something out with a laser
or
something.
Like a plaque around the
I realize these
or
guys
something.
Don't know what I mean by Fantastic Voyage.
Oh, that you was an old that was an old movie. That was an old movie where they shrunk Raquel Welch. They did a remake on that, didn't they?
Really?
Inner Space.
Yeah.
They did a thing on Inner Space where
Martin
Short
or something.
What's his face?
Was in
yeah.
It.
Yeah.
Yeah. They take a whole crew.
Dennis
they
Quaid
take a whole spaceship.
A
yeah. They shrink them down and then they inject them into a body and then yeah. they have to do battle with white blood cells
right.
and stuff
and
like
antibodies,
that.
Antibodies. It look like.
Yeah.
Seaweed.
Chris.
Yes.
You're 23. What's up?
Yes. I've been friends with this guy who's 10 years older than me. I've been really, really good friends with him for 2 years. We get along very, very well, better than anyone I've ever connected with, seriously, like spiritually, whatever, emotionally.
He's your pal, though.
He's my bestest pal.
Why is he staying in Friendsville and not heading over to a romance?
I cannot have sex with him because he is extremely overweight.
Does he want to have sex with you?
Oh, he'd love to.
Okay.
Fat guys are horny, Jerome, and let's face it.
Well, yeah, he hasn't had any. I think the last time he had sex was when he was 24.
I see.
How old is he now?
33.
And you're 23.
Short man. 9 years.
God, can't you show him
you should just give him like a. You should just give him like, you know, one of those, you know, buddy.
Mercy,
buddy.
BJ, yeah. Come on. I've done that camping 1,000 times. 1,000.
I gave a little bit to him. That he would just need more and he would expect it all the time.
He'd be sorry to do it.
Plus, you'd be scared.
I love him. I can't.
He'd basically explode.
So you're like really into this guy, though, right? It sounds like you like actually like love him.
I do.
Why don't we get him a weight losing operation?
Get over the fat.
Yeah, get over it.
I mean, come on.
I don't know how to do that. I try not to be an enabler by you know like eating steaks with him or whatever. It makes me feel bad.
Well, how big are you?
I'm like 150, 155, 5'6".
So you're about, you know, I mean, you're no bikini model,
too, yeah.
But there's nothing wrong with you, right?
I'm I'm a definitely normal size.
Okay, and I'm sure he's lonely, and I'm sure he probably is in love with you.
Definitely.
And he's investing.
He's told you this.
He's putting all of his
girth.
He's investing in this relationship, but... You know, a 400-pounder has got to be under sort of a medically supervised weight loss program. So maybe get him into a program, or maybe you can get one of the weight-reducing surgeries, which work quite well.
Those work great. As a matter of fact, I met a lady in Hawaii who had had the surgery, and she showed me a picture of her driver's license, and it was literally like 16 to 18 months earlier.
She vaporized.
And she looked like a completely different human being, and she was totally happy about it. And it's relatively... I mean,
there are versions that are pretty mild, pretty innocuous.
How expensive is that procedure?
I'm sure they're thousands of dollars. They would be covered, you know, as a medical intervention if he's
really big like that. You know, he could definitely get it covered by his insurance because
he doesn't have health insurance.
He doesn't have health insurance.
Why doesn't he work on that?
Yes,
because he should have that.
I don't know how to tell him.
Well, all right. Well, let's break this down a little bit here.
So he doesn't know you're not moving along because of the weight.
That's the only thing stopping me from marrying.
But he doesn't know that.
See, that's whack. You should if that's the only thing that's keeping you from falling in love and having a great relationship with this guy.
I already have fallen in love.
Wait. Does he know this?
Oh, he does.
He knows that this is the one thing holding you back.
Right, but he's in a very big depression about it, and he can't.
Well, why don't we start working on take him to a doctor and start working on problem solving?
Does they have insurance?
Get some. Then when he says that, let's get you some
do
insurance.
Do they sell you insurance to morbidly obese guys?
If he's in a group, yeah. If he's part of a
group?
Employee group.
I don't know how to get it started though.
Does he work?
He does work. He works with me. We work together. We deliver pizza.
Yeah, you're not going to get insured delivering pizza.
That's sort of a comedy.
I know, because you figure everyone he drops off, it's like, hey, there's three pieces missing. What the hell? Hey, I tipped myself on the way over, so shoot me. Okay, now hold on. This is a compelling story. I agree with the surgery angle, but let's face it. They're pimping pizzas. He's not going to be able to get this surgery. What if Chris said to the guy, listen, I'm in love with you. You're in love with me. This weight, not forget the aesthetic part of it. I don't want my husband to die of a coronary 3 years after I marry him. I love you. I need you to lose the weight. You start showing me you're losing the weight, and I'll start creeping into your underpants.
Bingo.
I think she could lay that out to him, Chris.
And I think he'd be motivated enough
except
to do
be
that.
Wary that guys that can't lose the weight, often that weight is a barrier to intimacy. And absolutely. Although it's on subconscious level, what he's doing is preventing this relationship from going further because it frightens him too much.
Can you?
And he doesn't feel worthy of it, and he feels like you'll leave him if you get involved.
Chris, what if you lay it out to him in just plain English? You've got to start making the effort, and we'll get each inch you lose, I will get that much closer to you.
It would be hard for me, but I would do it for him.
Do it.
Do it.
Do it, girl.
Tell him that.
Why don't you take their phone number, Tara, or somebody in there? Get the phone number. Let's hear what the follow-up is on this one.
Oh, please do.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hey.
Stick with it. You can tell them to call us, too, if you want.
Because when you find somebody that you're in love with, the chances of you finding someone that you connect with this much again is so slim that you're better off trying to get him slimmed down so you can...
Although I have concerns that once, in fact, he does become emotionally available, magically she'll become uninterested again.
Yeah, maybe.
or he
might actually go, hey, you know what?
Confidence.
Chicks are looking at me.
Yeah. You know, we got to go to break. There's nothing better than that guy that's 400 pounds and he slims down to what he thinks is a tight 310, and now he's on the prowl. He's got himself some cycling shorts and a muscle shirt. He's on the prowl.
Beefcake.
We'll be back. The show. Meteora is the name of the CD, Linkin Park. Go out and get it. Don't make me wrong with my curses, please.
That's too late.
Yeah.
This one's long gone.
I want to thank Chester and Brad for coming in here. Always nice to see you guys.
Can I be honest with
Thanks
you?
Thanks for having us.
Please, yeah. Could you?
Actually, I had a good time.
Good.
It wasn't as painful as I thought it was going to be.
Nah, it was pretty easy, right?
Honestly.
Honestly? Can I be straightforward for a minute? It's good, right?
Yeah, it's great.
Oh, good. Back anytime you like.
Whatever.
All right. So, until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
Well, when I go to clubs, right, and I start dancing with girls,
mm-hmm.
I get a Mondo hard on.
Mondo.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.